Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Crystal Forbes with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving the real estate community. We provide title and escrow services for both Missouri and Kansas with locations throughout Southwest Missouri. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage. Our relationships with other industry professionals are why we are able to make dreams come true one closing at a time. Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help all of us get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we're so excited. We have an in-studio guest with us today, Coach Perry. Most of you have heard of him or know of him from the Nixa Eagles. Yep. But I'm going to read just a brief bio, and then we're going to get into have a great conversation with Coach here. So he is the head football coach for Nixa High School. And in the 5 seasons that he has been there, he has accumulated a record of 51-10 with 3 COC championships, 2 district championships, and the 2024 Class 6 state runner-up. John is a certified mental performance coach, which we really hope to dig into today. And he also has a podcast, mm-hmm. the Never Stop Getting Better podcast. Mm-hmm. With a wealth of experience, John has become a sought-after speaker, sharing his insights and expertise at a diverse range of events. He's got over 30 years molding and coaching championships teams. So we're going to talk a lot about leadership today. And welcome, Coach Perry.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
We're glad you're here.
So tell our listeners, if they could walk away with something today, what would you have them at the end of our conversation? What do you hope they walk away with?
I hope they'll wake up tomorrow with a little bit different attitude and understand that the best is yet to come, no matter what age, no matter what situation, no matter what's going on in life, that, you know, every single one of us has the opportunity to never stop getting better and to learn and to grow and to be curious, yeah, and to choose a positive attitude because life's just better, you mm-hmm. know. So I hope they'll wake up tomorrow a little more positive, a little more enthused, a little more excited about becoming the best version of themselves.
Love it.
I love that.
Love it.
So let's get talking to football. Well, you took the Nixa Eagles to the state championship last year. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I just finished year 5. We're starting year 6. You know, we retired, me and my wife both, from the state of Mississippi, moved to Missouri, had never been to Missouri before. And then when we took the job at Nixa, it was really, you know, just we felt like the good Lord, you know, kind of put us there just by the way it come to be. Mm-hmm. And since then, we have been really successful, and it's been a lot of fun. Our administration is first class. Our coaches are awesome, from, you know, all of our coaches in the school to our football coaches. We have really good players, which obviously makes us better football coaches. And, you know, we've been really successful. We've won the Central Ozark Conference the last 3 years. We've mm-hmm. lost one game in that conference in 3 years. It was an overtime game maybe 3 years ago. Got beat this year in a state championship game by DeSmet, but it was a fantastic year. We were undefeated going into that game. And that game, just like in life, you know, we didn't play our best that night, you know. And when you don't play your best against a really good team, sometimes you don't win that. But, you know, just like in life, when things don't go your way, like, we'll go back to the drawing board. We've spent all season, all summer, you know, looking at how can we be better and try to get back to that game. And, you know, I'm hoping that life repeats itself. In 2016, we played for a state championship in Pearl, Mississippi, and we got beat. Mm-hmm. We went back the following year in 2017 and won it. So I'm hoping maybe this is going to happen again this right. year. So we are yeah. hopeful, but we're blessed. We got lots of great people, lots of great kids, coaches, yeah. and it's been really fun.
Did you lose any of your key players from last year?
We're going to lose some. I mean, you're sure. always going to lose some key players in high school. We probably graduated. Yeah. We have about 25 seniors a year, and of those yeah. 25 seniors, half of them are going to be, you know, starters or contributors or mm-hmm. big players. Now, we do have a lot of really good players coming back. I mean, good. Obviously, we have the best player in the United States of America with Jackson Cantwell. Yeah. You know, we have lots of really good players. Like, we think we're going to have a chance to, you know, be as good as we were last year for sure.
Yeah, excellent.
And Jackson's a... will be a senior?
Jackson will be a senior okay. this year. So right. it seems like he's been there forever because he started yeah. his ninth grade year. But, you know, he is absolutely phenomenal. And yeah. then the rest of the offensive linemen are really big and they're really good. I mean, we will have the best offensive line possibly in the country, which, you know, is pretty good for whoever's running
no
the ball.
Kidding.
That's yeah, right. That's
for sure.
right.
Well, I have to share real quick, Angie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Nixa Eagle.
Nice. Yeah. I love that.
I graduated from Nixa.
Well, it's a nice place. That means it's yes. a great community. The school is it awesome. Is. Like, we have been, you know, totally blessed by the community, by the support. If you have not, you should come to a game on Friday yes. night. Like, it is an event, you know. Like, every seat in the house is taken. We'll have fireworks after the game. Somebody asked yeah. me early on, like, what are you going to do, you know, if you lose a game? Do the fireworks still go off? And it was a while before we lost a home game, so I really didn't know. And I was sitting there thinking, like, but our community is so nice.
Yeah.
We're going to shoot the fireworks anyway.
Like,
if we lose, we're going to shoot them. If we win, we're going to shoot them. Like,
yeah.
we are a very kind community, and it's been awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, 6 years. It didn't happen overnight, right?
Sure.
So, when you go in and you it's your first year taking over a coaching position. What kind of things are you thinking about? What kind of things are you looking for? You obviously don't walk in the door and change everything, right? So talk to us a little bit about how that transformation happens.
I think one of the things that I'm blessed with, you know, and there's a lot of things that I'm completely average with, but I think one of the things that happened right off the bat was, I think when you go in anywhere and take over a new job or a new venture, I think you got to have a vision. You got to be able to paint a vision of the future that's so pretty that the people in the organization can see it. They don't have to believe it. What they have to believe is that we believe it as the people that's running it. So, you know, day one was to go in there and just paint a vision of what we wanted. Our vision for our program is to be the best program in the state of Missouri. And that was thrown out day one. You know, our mission is to play football in such a way that we make the people that come to the games proud. Mm-hmm. The school, the student body, the parents, and the community, we just want to make them proud. It's why we play. And then we have core values, and we start teaching those core values. We put a core value to each day of the week. So Monday will be family, Tuesday will be hard work, Wednesday's commitment, Thursday's positive attitude, and Friday is tough. And we start teaching, what does that mean? And then I think, honestly, putting the vision out there of what we can do and them believing that I believe, eventually they believe. And when, you know, I think belief changes everything. Mm-hmm. I think
yeah.
belief
mm-hmm.
can transcend anything that you have going on. If you believe in yourself or you believe in what you're doing, you're just going to do it at a different level. You know, I coached with two of the best coaches from the state of Mississippi ever, two Hall of Fame guys that's won 350 games, and I get asked what made them special. And the only thing I can come up with is they believed differently.
Mm-hmm.
They believed that they were never going to lose a game. So when you truly believe at your core that you're going to win every game that you ever walk into, you walk different, you talk different, you act different, you practice different, like you live different. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, is part of casting a vision. And so early on, it was just, this is where we're going. This is what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to work. And we don't mm-hmm. take days off. Like, we work every single day. Like, it's in season or out of season. You know, like, I think if you show up daily, you work hard daily, and you finish what you start, you can be really good at anything, you mm-hmm. know. And we have just, like, we just work, you know, mm-hmm. and we don't look too far ahead. We don't talk about playing for a state championship. Like, all we're talking about is how great can tomorrow be? Like, let's put together the best workout, the best run, the best practice. Right. Let's just be great tomorrow. Let's win tomorrow. And then we stack a bunch of single days, and before you know it, you end up in a state championship game right. without ever really talking about it. But yeah. that vision's been painted, and mm-hmm. I think our kids 100% believe that we can go play for a state championship. You know, and if you don't believe, you have no chance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter yep. what field of business you're in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you could take mm-hmm. Nick Saban and run any organization in the country, because he's going to go in and he's going to build a vision, and the people are going to believe that yep. with this guy as our leader, we're fixing to go do this, and they're going to go to work, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's what we have accomplished.
Absolutely. So that entire description right there is all about mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So can you point to some job you had or something that happened in your life that gave you that mindset? Because I don't think we're lucky enough to be born with it, and we just come out of the womb and
sure.
we're just, you know, happy and
sure.
everything's going to be great. So tell us about a life experience.
A couple things was working with those two coaches early on, I got to see it. But then probably 10, 12 years ago, we went to a coaching clinic in Orlando, and there was a young guy on stage with the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. The young guy was a leadership coach. His name was Brian Kite. He was probably in his young 30s at the time, and he was phenomenal. He was fielding leadership questions from the audience with the general manager for the Green Bay Packers, and it was phenomenal. So I ended up going to two of his breakout sessions he had. And in the breakout sessions, he started talking about E plus R equals O, and no BCD, and DMGB, which was some just acronyms that he was using. And he used the analogy, he said a couple things that struck a chord. In 2000, and I think it was 14, we went 4-7. All right, I think it's the only losing record I've ever had in our life in 31 years, okay? But he made this statement that if your team went 4-7, then you're a 4-7 coach. It is what it is. There's no such thing as bad teams, there's only bad leaders. If you have a bad team, change the leader and the team will get better, right? So I wanted to hit him with a chair because, you know, sure. like I was a normal human in that the normal human, when things don't go their way, yep. they blame other people and they come mm-hmm. up with excuses. So prior to that, when the season was over with, we had never won a state championship. We'd win 8 or 9 or 10 games a year because, you know, we were pretty good. But I would go in when the year was over with to the principal's office, and I would have a list of about 8 things as reasons why we couldn't win at Pearl. And I was trying to blame him, right? Yeah. So when I come mm-hmm. home and I'm upset about what he said, I dove into a podcast that him and his dad run. They both were leadership coaches for Ohio State. And so the dad has been teaching the R factor, they call it, for 40 years. Well, I dove into the podcast, and it just finally hit me that instead of looking out the window and blaming others and making excuses, that I needed to look in the mirror. Like, yeah. it starts with me, mm-hmm. okay? So we went back in and we, you know, just said, we're going to quit making excuses and we're going to fix things. Like, if you come with a problem, then we're going to figure out how to come up with a solution. So yeah. instead of blaming our parents for not teaching our kids good body language, mm-hmm. we're going to teach them body language. So we would go to the classroom, we would do lessons on body language, and then we would make them act right on the field. You know, like,
yeah.
it just, that was when it turned from never make an excuse and figure it out. You know, instead of making an excuse, go to work. Work twice as hard. Find a way to do it better. And that was probably the moment that life changed the most. And not just in football. That's the moment our relationship changed the most. That's mm-hmm. the moment our relationship with our children changed the most yeah. because yeah. it was a different way of looking at life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and what E plus R equals O means is we don't control the events in our life, nor do we control the outcomes in our life. What we do control is how we respond.
Yeah.
The better our response, the more influence we can have over an outcome. So we got to be better, you know. So I have to be a better football coach. I have to be a better husband. I have to be a better, you know. So one of the first things I come home with, the R factor has 6 steps that, you know, I mean, I love systems. I love, you know, like I need a system to be able to do anything, right? Well, the first step in the R factor is to press pause. So instead of responding, and if you have kids, at some point in time, you've said something to them that you wish you hadn't said. It just came out because you didn't pause, right?
Yeah.
Like, it happens.
Yeah.
Well, when I come home, I ask Brian Kite. I actually ended up bringing him to Mississippi so he could coach up all the coaches in a big convention and got to spend some time with him. I said, how do I teach my wife how to pause? because my wife didn't know how to pause. Like, her dad had a wick that was about that long, and her wick was about that long. And he said, you can't teach her how to pause. You can't coach her into pause. You can't make somebody do something. Let's go back to you can't. He said, no, what you can do is model it, right? Mm-hmm. You can model a pause. And if she likes what she sees, she will tend to go that way. Well, you know, and in life, she gained a pause, you know, that changed our life. It changed, you know, like, you can model it, which I think is one of the best lessons from leadership one can learn, is you just model the way.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's nothing more important than modeling it. You can teach it, but if you're not modeling it, it's not going to stick, you know. And I think that was probably the moment when I came home from that clinic and I dove into those podcasts. I think they had something like 80, and I listened to 80 consecutive on 80 consecutive days. They're about an hour apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was all in. Then I bought virtual classes. I took R Factor classes, and I just educated myself on how I could be better. And as I got better, it was weird how the team got better, you know. Mm-hmm. And we quit making excuses, and we just don't, you know, we don't do that. Like, we find a way instead of whine about something.
Yeah.
So let's break that down just a little bit. So the R factor is response, correct?
It's how you respond.
It's how you respond.
It's what you ultimately have control over.
Right. So, and then you said there are different things within the R factor.
There's six steps.
Six steps. And the first one is model.
The first one is pause.
Pause.
Close
okay.
your mouth.
Yeah.
And
okay.
your second one is get your mind right. So you pause and you cycle through, what's the best thing I could do right now to get the result that I would like to have happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what's the best thing that this situation needs,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not when your quarterback throws an interception, as I would have done before. I would have cussed him out.
Yeah.
And I would have I was mad because he threw an interception, because I felt like we practiced, he shouldn't. But the outcome of getting on a quarterback in front of 5,000 people
mm-hmm.
is he goes right. back out on the field timid and scared, and he's not his best.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, like, pause, get your mind right.
Yeah.
And then step three is step up to whatever that is. Now your action, what are you going to do? Like, what is it that, you know, calls for? And I look, those three steps,
mm-hmm.
you can skip whatever's left.
Yeah.
If you just pause, get your mind
mm-hmm.
right, and then step up to the best action that's possible,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you can go a long way in this world. You know, I learned this from a podcast I did with a guy that was a professional umpire. They taught them the same system. They had different words, but they taught the umpires the same three steps. Pause. See what happened and think about it.
Right.
Let it
mm-hmm.
run through your head
yeah.
before you act on whatever mm-hmm. you're going to act on. You know, and I thought it was very coincidental that it was the same three steps stated a little bit differently,
mm-hmm.
but it's how they can make calls and be, you know, fundamentally sound and making
right.
the best call they can, because they can get caught up in the moment too. If they
oh,
don't
yeah.
pause, you know, they can make a mistake, you know. And I think, you take the example, this is an easy one to understand when it comes to the R factor. Driving your car. Right. When you drive your car, somebody may pull out in front of you. That's an event that you cannot control.
Mm-hmm.
OK, so if your just automatic response is to get upset and to, you know, try to holler at them through the window, like, get frustrated, the outcome is your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate goes up. You actually become a worse driver. OK,
mm-hmm.
but somebody pulls out in front of you and you pause and you cycle through. Maybe that person's on their way to the hospital to see their
sure.
dying mother,
mm-hmm.
you give them a pass, your heart rate don't change, your blood mm-hmm. pressure don't go up, your driving skills stay the same.
Right.
That's what the R factor is.
Mm-hmm.
Just get your mind right. Like, what's the best outcome that I could hope for right here? And let's move toward that, because if we respond automatically, you know, the average person has 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day. 74 to 80% of those thoughts are negative.
Mm-hmm.
We have a negativity bias that came to us from the good Lord years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if we just respond without thinking, a lot of times it's going to be negative. It's
yeah,
going to be bad.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, I think the R factor changed my life, but it also changed our teams. It changed our coaching. Like, it gave us a system that we could fall back on. And I use it every day. You know, I was talking to a kid this morning that's had a tough life experience come up. And I'm like, you know, what does E plus R equals O teach you right now? This event that you're going through, it's not your fault. Like,
right.
you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't control it. Like, all you can control is, how do you handle it? How do you respond? You know,
mm-hmm.
if you respond poorly, the outcome's going to be worse than it could be.
Mm-hmm.
If you respond above the line, like, with appropriate actions, and think about it and really sit on it, and then the outcome might work out for your good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you never know. But you can't. Too many people run around, you know, getting upset about things that they cannot control.
Yeah.
Right? And that's nuts to me. And that's just something I've learned because I was that person probably 10 or 15 years ago, you know, and that person is long. I say long gone. I still will get on a kid accidentally every once in a while. Like, we all revert back to,
yeah,
but
right?
I do catch myself quick, and I do apologize really fast because that's not the best way to be. As a parent, as a husband, as a coach, mm-hmm. nothing positive comes from losing your cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. We're all fallible.
We are, no doubt. Yeah.
What is your response from the children of the mindset that you are teaching them? Because we can all three sit here and compare stories of when we grew up and the things that we weren't taught that we wish we were. We can look at our children, our nieces and nephews now that are maybe missing being taught something that we wish. So what's your experience with the children, the feedback you get from them or the parents? And is it something that you... I know you go over it and over it with them because that's how we learn. We get reminded of it over and over. What is their response with you?
It's been really good. Like, our kids are awesome. And I think, you know, the other part of E plus R equals O that I really learned later on is I kind of circle the E in that formation. Okay. We are an E for other folks. Okay. So, like, when you go into the grocery store, you are an event for other people. Other people do see you if they know you. If I walk into the grocery store at the Harder House in Nixa, there are going to be people in there that know me. Sure. I'm an event for other people. So what do I want them to do? So on Friday night, when an official makes a bad call, if I blame, complain, get defensive, and act a fool, what do you think the kids on the team are going to do when they get a bad call?
Right.
They're going to do the same thing. So go back to, you have to model it first.
Yeah.
But I think our kids have modeled our coaches. Like, our coaches don't fly off the handle. Our coaches will cycle through, even if they don't know it, they'll cycle through E plus R equals O because that's just the way we live. So our kids have been the same way. One of our coaches said this week, he said, or last week, he said, we have kids on this football team that probably don't even want to be on this football team, but their parents make them play because they know what we're teaching them. Like, we are intentional about teaching mental performance. Like, in the summer, we're going to take a day of the week and we're going to teach a mental performance skill every week. We're going to take a core value lesson and we're going to teach it every single week. We're going to take, we do many lessons to start every single day before we, you know, right after we call roll. Like, we are intentional about teaching them life skills so that they can grow up and be successful men and successful fathers and successful husbands. And football's just our avenue to teach life skills.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the way we look at it. And when we started doing that intentionally, it's weird how we got better at football.
Yeah.
Like, before we would coach really hard and not care as much about life because I just thought it was about winning.
Right.
And winning had a cap on it. But since we've changed to this, there's been no cap. Like, we just win almost all the time, you know, and it's not... You know, that's not really our goal. Like, we don't talk about it. We just go out there to try to be the best we can be and give the best effort we can give, and whatever happens, happens. Because we don't control the scoreboard.
Sure.
We just don't. I mean, we control how we play, you know. So if we go out there and play great, we have objectives that we have to meet on Friday night. If we go out there and meet those objectives and lose, I'm not even upset.
Yeah.
I mean, if the team's just better than you and they beat you, like, what good is it for me to berate our kids?
Yeah.
Now, if we go out there and win and we turn the ball over twice and we don't have any big plays and we stink punting the ball, then they may get blessed out.
Right.
Even if we win, because it's not about the scoreboard. The scoreboard's for everybody else. Like, our performance is, how do we perform every time that ball is snapped? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we be the best we can be 4 to 6 seconds at a time for 60 plays in a ball game? You know, and that's... You know, that's the things that we talk about, but our kids, I think, are an extension of us. Like, they're fantastic. Yeah. They're great kids. They're some of the best kids in the school building. We're intentional about teaching leadership. We have a leadership academy where, you know, we teach 16 kids the actual skills. They'll show up tomorrow morning at 6:55, and, you know, we have a curriculum that we use. And then on Thursday morning, our leadership council is going to go teach our team and subgroups the lesson from today. Tomorrow's lesson is leaders eat last. Okay. It's about how in the army, the generals and all of them are going to get at the end of the line because, you know, true leadership is service. Right. Service is putting other people before yourself. So we want to flip the script on the freshmen carry the stuff off the field. No, seniors, man, you carry the stuff off the field.
Yeah.
Serve other people. That's how you take any organization to the very top, you know, is when it's a service leadership type of deal, then you can be really, really good. So we do a lot in the leadership field for our kids in hopes that it's going to pay off for them in life down the road, because there's one certainty in life. Life is hard. Mm-hmm. Challenges are coming. Right. Like, what are you going to do, you know, when life smokes you upside the head? And that's what we're trying to prepare them for right now. We think football is a great tool to use to do that.
Mm-hmm. Just an avenue. And it's one that they're obviously interested in, and they'll pay attention
for
because
sure.
they are interested in the sport. Tanya, I think it's a great time for us to take a little break.
Okay.
And we'll hear a word from our sponsors and be right back. Great leadership isn't about a title. It's about influence, impact, and the ability to navigate change with confidence. Many leaders struggle to communicate their vision, inspire their teams, and make strategic decisions that drive results. Without the right tools, performance and progress can stall. That's where iChem help. I'm Angie Mullings. With decades of experience, I can deliver a dynamic keynote and conduct hands-on workshops that equip leaders to lead authentically and create lasting impact. Ready to invest in a more engaged and high-performing team? Reach out today to schedule a consultation. 5 minutes left. And we're back with Coach Perry, and we're having a great discussion. We just said that you've got Leadership Academy within NICSA. NICSA has also hired a mindset coach. I know you've had some training in that area too. What made NICSA decide that it was important enough that they needed to put some money behind that and hire some people specifically for that?
I think COVID was the first problem. You know, what I found coming out of COVID was more issues with kids because they were isolated, and it didn't add value to nobody's life, right? Like, being isolated mm-hmm. doesn't help. So I started getting more phone calls from parents about, can you help me with my kid? My kid's, you know, depressed. My kid's this, my kid's that. And I didn't feel like I was equipped to be the best I could be for them. So I went and got certified as a mental performance coach. And mm-hmm. we have another one of our coaches, Chance Potts, who is a business guy here in town that's mm-hmm. phenomenal, that coaches the running backs for us. He got certified as a mental performance coach. And the first group we taught it to was our parents. We just did a Zoom, like an 8-week session Zoom mm-hmm. for our parents. And who's got more influence on our kids than us? Our parents. So we wanted yeah. to educate them a little bit. And then he and I have been teaching it since then to our team. And then last year I had interviewed Angie Wiley for the podcast, and I just loved her. I thought she was great. I thought the story was great. Mm-hmm. So then I investigated how could we hire her to come in, and you know, like, she's added value to our program. Like, it, me and Coach Potts have spent a lot of time teaching a lot of the same things, but I think hearing it from somebody else, hearing yeah. it from another person mm-hmm. has been beneficial. And I think we had a great year last year with Angie with us during the year, and we're going to do it again this year because she did a really good job, and I thought our kids took to her. She could come out to practice and hang out, and if they were having a issue, you know, they could slide over there and have a conversation. And you know, we just want to add value to our kids' lives, and I mm-hmm. think Angie adds value to all of our lives. So you know, what's the price on that? If mm-hmm. I always think about the price for a win. We play 14 games a year, okay? So, like, when I think about purchasing things for the team, how much would I pay for a win? Well, if you told me right now, if you give me $5,000 a game for a win, that I would win them all, $14,000, $5,000, what's $14,000? What's 14 times 5,000? That's 25, 50, that's about 70,000, 60,000. Mm-hmm. I'd go raise $60,000 today and give it to you and be undefeated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when I think about what
right.
can we purchase, I always think about, is this going to help us win a game?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Angie helps us win a game. Mm-hmm. Like, she helps us win a game. So, yeah. you know, that was an easy one for us. We're going to keep her as long as we can because she's fantastic. And it's really about adding value to our kids, man. Adding, you know, and getting mentally performance certified was about adding tools to our tool belt so that
yes.
we had more ways to help our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helped us. Like, it's the same thing with, we talked about
absolutely.
Off the air, the podcast. Like,
yes.
getting certified helped me be a better coach.
Yeah.
It helped me build skills that I could use in all facets of my life. So, you know, I would advise that for anybody that wants to get better.
Absolutely. Sure. And I commend you and Chance going through that and recognizing, okay, we might not possess all of the tools that we need for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then adding Angie on, I commend Nixa for being open to that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I feel like this practice and this program, I would hope that all schools across America, especially in Missouri with our homegrown children, are open to these ideas.
For sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know that they are, but you guys are certainly setting the tone for that.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to. And I think in Nixa, if you can add value to the kids, the school system's going to support you. They're going to do whatever they can to help you add value, you know, to our kids.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, them helping with Angie was not even a thought, because they knew it would add value, you know, to our young people.
Yeah. So segueing into you being a speaker, a leadership speaker. So I listened to you for the first time at a event put on by Realtors in Nixa a couple years ago.
Sure.
And it was clear to me that what you were doing was empowering our children and all of those around you. And now you're in front of a group of realtors, empowering those people to be better and to have a better mindset and so forth. And I know that Angie and I went to the Think Summit recently, and I had to leave for the afternoon segment, but she got to hear you speak there.
Mm-hmm.
So what has led you, I mean, I could probably answer this myself, but I'm going to ask it so the listeners can hear it. What has led you to become that leadership speaker for the communities around us? And do you see that taking you outside of our area? It probably already has.
Yeah, I think, number one, I started, you know, probably, I've tried to nail down the date, and I don't really know the date, but it was probably 16 or 18 years ago, I decided that I would wake up every single day of my life and read for a minimum of 30 minutes, sometimes an hour, hour and a half, depending on the day of the week. And I've probably not missed a day in 18 years. Like, I have read, on average, 100 books a year. So if you take the formula that one of my mentors taught me, K minus A equals zero. Knowledge minus application means absolutely nothing. So if you were to read, you know, 18,000 books and not try to go serve somebody else, what good does it do you? You know, so I think being service minded, like wanting to make a difference in this world. I mean, I got three core values that, you know, are personal, and they are curiosity. I want to stay curious. I want to learn something every day, serve others, and make a difference. So then when you add what the reading's done, it's given me the ability to get in front of people. And then, you know, my thought is this, and it happens every time you get the opportunity to speak. You're not going to change, you know, 500 people's life at a Think Summit, but you're going to change somebody's. Like, you're going to touch somebody. There was a lady, as I'm leaving that day, going out the door, there's an elderly lady that catches me. Coach. And I'm like, we got a flag football game, so I'm trying to hustle out. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. She says, I just want you to know, I hate football. I hate football. I'm like, well, I hate it too someday. She said, but boy, I needed that talk today. Like, that was so good. You know, and I thought, my thought is, I just want to help somebody wake up the next day a little bit more motivated than they were the day before, because I feel like too many people are missing out on the greatness of life.
Yeah.
I think too many people get on the treadmill of life and they live the same ragged day, 365 days a year, instead of, man, make each day your masterpiece. Like, be awesome. Like, be great to other people. When I said we're an event to other people, if we go through the grocery store, my wife will get annoyed with this sometimes, but when we check out, if the lady has purple hair, like, I'm going to make a big deal. I'm going to be like, that's the most beautiful purple hair I've ever seen in my life. Like, that is awesome.
Right.
Because somebody's, I just want to, put a smile.
Yeah.
I want to add value in this world. So the speaking thing, just, I've been blessed to be asked a time or two. And then from that, it's grown. And I have, like, we're going Friday to Moberly, Missouri for the Missouri Community Colleges Day. And, you know, we've got two big ones this summer in Mississippi. Like, we have gotten a lot of opportunities. And to me, that's a blessing. Like, I love doing it because I love adding value. And, you know, and it helps me. It's just like this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, this podcast makes y'all better because you have to do the research to be ready and prepared. Well, when you go speak in front of 500 people, you have prepared, you know, like you have you have done your work to try to not go out there and embarrass yourself, which still sometimes happens. But, you know, it has been, I've really enjoyed that. And I, you know, I don't know what will come of that down the road, but it's fun and I enjoy doing it. And if I can add value to somebody, I'm sure going to try.
And that also was why you started the podcast, right? It's just a way to add value. When we were starting to our podcast, you know, we had this conversation with Lori, having breakfast with Lori Robertson, and we both just said, we've got all these years of experience, all this stuff that has happened, and we've owned businesses and done the things, and now I feel like it's our responsibility to give back in some way. And what way was that? It's the podcast for now. So you started your podcast, and it was a way to give back again.
Yeah, that was the sole purpose. Was I've been a podcast listener for a long time. You know, we normally, when we get in a vehicle, we're listening to a podcast. If we travel over 30 minutes anywhere, you know, we walk in the morning time and we podcast when we walk, and she probably gets sick of it most of the time, but, you know, I'll enjoy it. So then, you know, my thought was I just would like to add value, and I would like to learn. Like I've done a lot of traveling and asking questions just to be the best coach I can be. So then why not do that on air for other people to benefit? Because I, you know, it started out just let's interview some great coaches, you know, and help coaches. And then it turned into, you know, CEOs or people that have a great story that can inspire other people. Yeah. And, you know, that's been really, really fun. It's been really good.
That's awesome. And tell us the name of your podcast again.
Never Stop Getting Better.
Okay.
We go by NSGB, and that is, it's an off thing of the Brian Kite DMGB. So he taught me, doesn't matter, get better, as a system that we installed, and I just did not want to steal his four initials, so we come up with Never Stop instead of Doesn't Matter. And I like Never Stop better than Doesn't Matter, right?
But yeah,
that's Never Stop Getting Better, and it's been a blast.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I have one more coaching question to ask. When you are playing in those big games, and we all have points in our business, you know, some days are bigger than others, right?
Sure.
We have things that we need to, we hope to accomplish to get us further down the road. The mental, the stress that that puts on your players, thinking, this is it, we're playing for state championship, we've got to win. That kind of mindset, we've got to win. What do you say to those students before you go on the field for those big games and they're caught up in the big moment and not playing loose and not having fun, really, because they're trying too hard to win? What's the advice you give?
Well, a couple of lessons that we teach with our mental performance is emotional mastery, how to manage your emotions, intensity management, how to manage your intensity, and we talk about it in the realm of a number, okay? So like if you're a quarterback, what number do you need to have your energy level at to perform your best? If a 10 is overly excited and a 0 is asleep, a quarterback should play at about a 7. If he gets too excited, he can make a mistake. If he gets too upset, he can make a mistake. So like we want to play at a 7. How do we stay at a 7? So like we don't really have big games. Like honestly, tomorrow is a big day. We're going to lift weights, we're going to run, and we're going to practice, right? And we're going to do it at the highest level that we can do it at. So like we don't really have, whether it's Desmet in the state championship game or it's one of these local teams to the east of us that we don't like, it doesn't matter. Like, we go out there to play the game the way we play the game. Like, there is no expectation that we're going to play better this Friday or that Friday or this game means more than that game, because that's not the way you play your best. The way you play your best is to find your number and play at your number, good, bad, or indifferent. Now, what do you do when you make a mistake? We have a system for that. We call it park it. Park the mistake. Put it out of your mind. Take a deep breath. Say park it. Put a physical cue to it. And let's go to the next play. And we use park it for a reason, because it's like when you park your car at Walmart. You're not intentionally thinking about where you park your car. You're pretty much able to walk out and walk to your car without using a bunch of this. Well, we can park it till we get to the sideline. Now, when we get to the sideline, we video, we record everything. So now let's learn from our mistakes, but let's play through them and don't worry about it, right? Like, crap happens, right? You're going to make mistakes. So we don't make moments bigger than they are, because they're not. Like, it's the next play. It's 4 to 6 seconds. Play it to the best of your ability. And we're going to try to do that tomorrow. And we're going to play the same way on December the 4th in the state championship game as we're going to play tomorrow. And that's just, you know, I think that's one of the blessings I had from watching the Alabama program, being so close to that in Mississippi, was every day was 4th and inches. Okay, it wasn't the big game. Like, every day was that important. Like, every day was, you know, it was like their life was on the line. So then when they went out there and played for Alabama, it didn't matter if they were playing a terrible team or a great team, they played the same. And most people don't do that. Most people will play down to their level of competition because they're making this one bigger and this one less. Like, we're not doing that. Like, if we're supposed to beat you by 40, we're going to probably beat you by 40, you know? And that's just because we're going to teach our kids to play at this level no matter what, right? And that's hard to do. Yeah. It's hard for kids.
But it is.
I think because we teach it and preach it, and we have been pretty successful doing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a great answer. So at the beginning of the podcast, you said you wanted to leave people with the hoping that they have the right mindset every day when they wake up. When you encounter somebody that is negative Nelly, and we all could name one or seven in our lives that we know. How do you deal with that? How do you get, how do you stay friends with them?
Well, okay.
Or
first,
do you?
First of all, the people in your life, you know, like, some of them you can't run away from, right? So if they're if they're connected by birth, you know,
family,
if it's a parent, if it's a friend, if it's a an uncle, or you can't, like, totally, but you have 1 minute people, you have 1 hour people, you have 1 day people, you have 1 week people, you have one, like, choose what they are. And I can't associate with negative people. I just can't, and I don't. Like, if I walk up on a group that's, I just walk off. Like, I don't Yeah, when I wake up in the morning time, I see life, and I would hope everybody listening, you know, tomorrow morning when you wake up, you got two choices. Is today going to be a great day, or is today going to be a really, really, really great day, right? That's the only two choices. Like, it's going to be a good day one way or the other, you know what I'm saying?
So,
you know, we get to choose that. So, like, negative people, man, I got to, you just got to stay away from them. Now, if they're negative but they want to learn, then I will teach them how to keep a gratitude journal, and a gratitude journal can change their life. If they don't want to learn, man, you just got to limit your time. Like, you can't.
It's a great
tip,
nothing
you can do about that. Like,
you
put a bunch of garbage in, you're going to get a bunch of garbage out, you know? So I try to limit myself from being around them kind of people. Because they will wear on you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And I think the more we age, you just decide, I don't have time for that anymore.
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all. Like, and I think, you know, what we, how we spend our day, who we spend it with, and what kind of stuff we put in is going to be what type of stuff comes out. You
that's
know,
right.
Like, that's not, if you squeeze an orange, what's going to come out? Orange juice, right? So when adversity hits us, what's going to come out? Whatever we've put in.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think you have to be negative when adversity hits, but a lot of people choose to.
Right.
But that's a choice,
of course.
You know, because they haven't put anything in worthy of something good coming out. So you just got to limit those negative people. You know, that's not.
Absolutely.
Whew, that can be a challenge, obviously. And if they're related to you, it's really hard.
You're right.
But we've learned to limit some of our family's negative people.
Yeah.
You know, we just call it 1 hour. We're going to give 1 hour.
Yep.
1 hour and out. We're out.
You have a signal, secret signal.
No, we have a time limit. It's 1 hour. And in 1 hour, somebody's going to act like they get a phone call.
Yeah.
Hey, what? We'll be there in a minute. We do have 1 hour limit for some people, no doubt.
Oh, gosh. I love it. Well, thank you, Coach, for being here today. And thank you for lifting up our community, lifting up our children. I think that you are teaching all kinds of good stuff across
the right stuff.
Yeah, across Southwest Missouri, and I hope that extends to all 50 states.
Well, I appreciate y'all. Y'all are bright and shining stars for doing what you're doing, because you don't have to do it. You're doing it because you're trying to, you know, serve other people and give back. And, you know, I commend y'all for what you're doing. It's absolutely fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate the conversation. And thank you for listening. And we hope that you will share this episode with someone who could benefit from it. Anyone in your life could benefit from it. And we want to thank Gershman Studios for recording. And we hope that you just wake up tomorrow and have a better day than today.
Make it a great day. See you next time.